Okay, I'll be as brief as I can. The kpfk.news site, the site was built by volunteers, two of the people who are on our digital village, Brandon and Brittany, built it at no charge to us at all, and the hosting is being paid for by a donor. The Shadows of Liberty, I believe it's $10, Ken, but I'll confirm, thank you. When I mentioned...
I heard you, but you didn't hear me clearly
when I talked about the member benefits card. I said that if it comes in at what it currently costs us or less, we'll certainly be investigating further. So that's now today. The recycling...
Excuse me, this is not a class conversation, you have not been addressed, Mr. Hoffman.
Thank you. The general manager
has the floor. He is making his presentation. Please be respectful with the ground rules of communication.
With the recycling situation that was in there under operation, it's not costing us anything. It doesn't directly benefit us, but as a good citizen, it benefits schools and other non-profits in the area. So we thought that was actually a pretty good thing for us to become involved in. I can't remember what your last question was. I've written down $50,000.
That was the difference between $104,000, what was in the budget, and the number that you got.
The question was your reported...
Oh, the $50,000 donation that should be out of that is not included in that 92. It's not included, that's because we listened to you and I didn't include it anymore, but you're right, it shouldn't be on the operational budget, and we will have it removed. Steve, financial condition, there's no way to sugarcoat this, is not great. It's absolutely not great. The cash flow situation is not desperate, but it's difficult. And it will not be as difficult when 70,000 CPD money comes through, and that will be soon, and someone will be able to address that even better than me. But in terms of operations, we are one of the stations who is maintaining its services and managing to stay afloat, and even helping out the national office when it needs help, because we have more cash than particularly the East Coast stations who don't have any, and national office who have bugger all as well. So the situation is not great, but that is constantly under review and constantly monitored, and we're looking for ways to cut costs all over the place.
We have time on the second, so...
I move to extend 5 minutes.
Second.
Is there any
objection?
Any objection?
Lawrence, the $50 member benefit thing is different to a membership of $25. $25 is a straight membership, but if you want the perk, so to speak, of the member benefits card, then you add another $25 to that, and you would get it automatically with $150,000 for each anyway.
$150,000.
In terms of changes to programs and so on, I propose to actually include the board in those discussions, certainly. Because I think that's an important thing for the board to have input into, while I reserve the right to make the decision about them. The Labour rally, I'll take that up with people involved in the volunteer area about the stand that wasn't there. I apologise for that.
Well, me and Mike will be added on that.
Okay. The car donations, timely question, Michael, about the car donations company. Someone and I attended a presentation yesterday from the people who currently handle our car donations and who want to keep handling our car donations. It was a very slick, salesy kind of presentation, but these people seem sincere, notwithstanding that, and they are prepared to, at least at this stage, match what the new offer is, but actually seriously increase the customer service that goes with it. And they're already offer a very high standard. But I think, as I said to Summer afterwards, the guy said to me on the phone, I will do better than what the other firm is doing, so I think we can squeeze another couple of percent out of it if they're serious about wanting to keep our business. And we'll continue to work on that. Who's next? The evaluation of Saturday's cash, yes, thank you. I'll take that up with people involved. Yeah.
Wait a minute, how come you couldn't have back and forth? I can tell you, it was the last week of August, which would have been towards the third week of August, probably the second or third week of August.
Oh. I can confirm that when I look at the charts. Thank you very much, John, for your suggestion about the domain name service. Before that, Brenda asked about the 65th anniversary of Pacifica.
55th.
Okay. I think we definitely should work as a group to do something about that, and I'm sure someone would probably agree that we need to make a bit of a fuss about that anniversary. And I think that more or less covered. Thank you. Did I miss anybody? Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. We'll go for public comment and the GM, for the GM comments. In public, we have 7.5 minutes. So.
Does the bylaws include no requirement for broadcast notice of LSC committee meetings? Dutch recorded an announcement that summarized what meetings are due to be held when. It's broadcast as a courtesy by management. There is no requirement that it's fulfilling. One broadcast requirement that several stations sometimes fail is broadcast notice of PNB meetings. All five stations are supposed to be broadcasting the details of when the PNB is in person.
First of all, I second what you just said about the meeting and the announcements. I agree. I think it would be helpful, from my point of view, if questions to the manager or anybody else were answered one at a time, just with a time limit, rather than piling them up. He does an exceptionally good job, I mean, Werner does, but some people don't when they get piled up. So I think one at a time, full of the time limit, so that they all get answered. On the committees, our committees, well, finance and government shouldn't be meeting at the same time in different places. It shouldn't be hard to work that out in a rational way, but it doesn't happen again. It's happened two or three times just this year. I just pose this to the board as a whole and maybe to change, especially to try to get them to work it out. It doesn't happen again. The program oversight committee, to my knowledge, hasn't met, announced, or anything for about a year. And I was on it the last time it ever did meet, about a year ago. Whatever happened, I have no idea. But that should be looked into, I think. The last programming is of no interest to anybody, which I doubt is the case. Outreach meets, but outreach sometimes sort of off on its own track, which is another subject. Personnel, I'm unaware when their meetings are. I tried some months ago to find out, and I just gave up. I don't know if they even get announced. But I've served in these committees in the past. I know in the past they were all announced and were open to the public, including personnel, except on very executive sessions. It's not the case that they shouldn't be announced and meet at all. There's something wrong. They shouldn't have listened to it. Sure, our committees aren't functioning very well at all, in my opinion. The August LSB meeting, which I was at, was very dismaying to me. 11 people, ostensibly of one faction, showed up. And no one of the other factions, so-called. Was this deliberate, accidental, or what? But worse than that, were some of the comments, which were unrebutted, ranging from criticism of individuals to a call for a takeover of the station. I mean, it's pretty bizarre and not terribly helpful and rational. And I raised this publicly anyway.
Hello, I'm Maria. And I have questions with general manager today. I have more questions than that. First of all, on the website that we currently have, the place where the minutes for the LSC information is so obscure and hard to find that I think that all the subscribers would like to know if it exists, because we announced we have elections, so they know that something is happening, but there's no way to find it except in strain. And then the link that goes to the chairperson doesn't work. I got my email returned 3 times, so something is wrong. It's not my machine, it's not my hands, it's not my brain. Next, there is on that website, we do not have the LSE members to be contacted in any way. If there is a site to contact the LSE directly, besides the chairperson, there is no such information on the website. I'm sure we have a webmaster who does some work, and I would like him to do more on this issue of making contact with the public and the LSP, because it is impossible to do so. You're looking over there, I'm talking over here. You don't watch LSP? That's okay too, Bernard. I don't really care. Now, somebody doesn't like it? I just heard a sigh. Who was that? Somebody doesn't like what I'm talking about? Please do not interrupt me. Thank you so much. I won't
do it. Interrupting yourself.
I won't do it to you.
You're interrupting yourself.
Is it fair?
Madam Chair, is it Gina?
Madam Chair, I would like to finish my part, please, without having people tell me that I'm not doing it okay. when I'm talking to Bernard, he's looking over there, it makes me think that he doesn't want to hear from me. That's why I ask the question. Okay. Is the general manager being replaced? As I thought I heard, I wasn't really clear, because sometimes it is difficult for me with my acute hearing to understand everything that's said when it talks very rapidly. And so, I thought I heard it being said. Was I mistaken? You're looking at me like I was mistaken. I'm glad to hear that. I thought the GM indicated that he may not be around for long. And if so, when, where, why, what's going on? Does anybody want to share that information? Okay, I've got more questions for next time.
Thank you.
She just called me Gideon.
I sure did. Stop shaking.
Thanks. Listen, this is a little off topic because I may leave early and I wanted to make this announcement before I left. There's an Echo Socialist conference really close to this location over at, get your pencils out now, at 4130 Overland Avenue in Culver City at the Mamie Clayton Library and Museum. It's got a terrific bunch of panels going, and I tend to at least be there by 4 p.m. for the 4 p.m. panel. So
I'm sorry, Chris really young.
Well, there's a lot of good people speaking on various panels. There are three panels on the hour every 2 hours or so.
Can you keep that title on for you?
It's called the Echo Socialist Conference.
As an ecology?
Yeah. There is a registration fee. I don't know if you go late, whether they'll charge you the full amount.
It's optional.
Okay, it's optional. All right. Thank you. And then there's a wind-up plenary at 6 o'clock. There's a 6:45 theater piece, and at 7 o'clock there's a closing plenary. So I just wanted to make that announcement. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Terry, for the clarification. Yeah, that should record a generic promo that tells it all this, but it's actually inaccurate now, so we do want to run that sort of thing, so we'll do it again. And just to clarify for me, is it only the in-person public PNB meetings that have to be announced locally?
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks. Israel, most of what you said really needs to be addressed to the committee chairs about, you know, where and when they put their meetings. The PROC, I'm not sure about who is chairing that now, if anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Rodrigo. Okay.
Rodrigo.
Okay. So I can follow up on that. The same with personnel, I think it needs to be bothered up with chairs. I think maybe John actually is chairing for this whole week. I know he is on the DNB, but maybe the same thing. Okay, the website, Maria. Yeah, our website can be particularly difficult to navigate, I'll grant you that, but our webmaster is, as we speak, working on an overhaul of that website, and I'll pass on your comments to him so that they are included in his work. The LSB members can be contacted by email at this address, lsboard@kpfk.org. LSBoard.
Is that on the website anywhere?
Well, if it's not, it will be.
Okay, it has been.
And the other one, and you can reach Tej directly at lsbchair@gmail.com.
That one? I think the website says
at ppfk,
but I don't
receive
that.
That's right.
It's actually at Gmail, that one
gets forwarded. Okay, and I'll make sure that's on there. It's clear it's not from what you said. And Bernie, you didn't require any out because you were information. Thank you very much, all.
What about your meeting?
My business is my business.
Sorry, we're not part of the no.
I haven't resigned, if that's what you mean.
I have no idea.
Bernie, you told us some information in the past, and it might be useful just to repeat that information you gave us two meetings ago.
Do you mean the situation with the fact that my partner is moving to a position in New Zealand?
Yeah, that's what I think she needs to hear about.
We're at time at this item. Anybody would like to move to the next thing?
Oh, there it is.
I forwarded that email. Thank you. PNB reports, please, directed.
Sure.
How many directors are here?
Three directors. The other one's here, too. It's just not on your
feet. 10 minutes for four.
Yep, we have 2.5 minutes.
Okay, so
At the previous meetings, of course, we've raised the issue about the elections many times. The National Elections Committee and the Governance Committee did pass motions with a timeline that would get those elections done by the end of the year. And the PMD refused to move those up on the agenda, and therefore the PMD has voted on, in their words, postponing, in my words, canceling this year's election, making it next year, I believe, in violation both of bylaws and California Corporations Code. And then we'll see how things shake out with the powers that be. One of the timetables that they also refused to move up on the agenda, this is the board majority of PMB, is the timeline for the bylaws amendment. This is the first year that I've ever been on the board when there is no timeline to change the bylaws. And you already heard Summer say, obviously there are things that need to be remedied. I was hoping to bring forward a bylaws amendment that would do away with the form or reduce the form for elections since we got caught up in that last year. Anyway, so, you know, the PMD is what it is, but again, I urge everyone, if you want to be current, to listen to the PMD meetings, go to kpstx.org, and listen to these meetings that affect all of the LSPs and the entire network, if you want to know what the directors are really doing and saying.
Very short period of time. I'm not going to spend too much time on the Communications Act and everything that went around here, but everything I'm dealing with is in response to the CPB audit of years 2009-2010. The foundation, under my predecessor, responded to CPB by telling them we are going to announce all this stuff on the air all the time. Of course, a lawyer was not consulted in the culmination of that response, which was unwise, in my opinion. I'm dealing with that. So just to be clear, this isn't, it's what went to CPB. It's what I'm dealing with. We are separating out compliance with the Act from what we told them last year was going to be what we're doing. And I'm going to try and simplify this so we can actually do it. On elections, to be perfectly clear, the organization is in deep and dire financial distress. There is no other way to put this. New York is running such profound deficits. It has run six-figure deficits for 10 straight years. Please let that sink in. No one did anything about it. By the time I was able to force through changes that were utterly necessary because they cannot pay their payroll, we don't have the money to meet the obligations to legally wrap down what we just had to do because we didn't have money. I saved their transmitter this week. It would have been gone as of 3 days ago, except that I happened to liquidate money last week to pay a little tiny bit to our previous attorney and a little tiny bit to present counsel, that we would actually have general counsel. There's no money for elections. There is no money for anything. There are no reserves. The only reserves are restricted accounts at KPFA, KPFK, and WPFW with specified purposes that I can't touch. Otherwise, there are virtually no reserves anywhere in the network. PFW, I've made some changes in the last week, and their fund drive is doing fantastically, but that's because I sent in a crew of people who are making that happen. So they will probably be able to make their bills and their payroll. New York, we covered their payroll last week. We covered their translator payment this week. That is what's going on in this network. The PMD had a special meeting last night to discuss WBAI and what we're going to do about that situation. We still owe money on last year's election. We are still paying off the litigation that has been produced in this network over a period of years. We prevailed in a case that's been going on in New York for several years, but we still owe $100,000 in legal fees on that case, which I intend to pursue. But there's nothing I can say about, like, some of what people want to happen would require somebody to give a huge donation or lots of people to give significant donations. So that is the state of the network. That is why the elections are delayed. They're all tied together. Whether we financially survive is at stake right now, and whether we retain all of our assets. Do we not lose the station? And that's what we're trying to do.
Thank you.
All right, so in the midst of, financial distress, your national board decided to have an in-person meeting.
So, there you go. People elected decided to do and waste more money. So the previous meeting that we had in February cost anywhere between $34,000 and $35,000. Okay. We are also going to be doing in-person interviews for executive directors at that point. The in-person meeting will be in Houston, Texas in November. I believe it might be in the second week of November. So it's going to be hosted by KPFT. And we're also looking into trying to save costs, but the board majority decided to have an in-person meeting despite of laying off the majority of staff at WBAI, despite all of these old debts that we have towards lawyers and legal fees, despite the fact that we're behind on rent in some other areas. There have been just a lot of financial irresponsibility. But that's what happened. Again, I recommend if anybody has any concerns about this, to please email the entire board at pmb@pacifica.org. Because a lot of these things have made me personally upset, because I know folks who elected me here want to make sure that, one, we have more governance on a local level, but also that we're keeping the foundation in mind, right? And the interest of our specific station, which our specific station is not staying as well as it should be because it's lending money elsewhere, right? So that's where I feel that has been happening. It's kind of the recap of what's been happening at the national level.
Coach, can I clarify one thing?
We'll go with all the speakers.
I move to stand by the member.
We haven't reached our time yet. So we're going to be looking for a speaker to speak. We have one more.
I just want to clarify.
Okay, so this is just a financial clarification to both what Bernard said and what Brenda just said. The national office doesn't actually borrow any money. We get an advance on central services. When we divert that money to New York, we are not able to pay bills that are shared for the entire network, such as legal counsel, such as insurance, such as whatever the various things that we are supposed to cover. So what happens is I get on the phone and I say, how much can you spare in advance on essential services? And this week, all of that got diverted to New York to pay the transmitter. So what ends up happening is National is just short on what its expectations can be from the three stations that are actually able to pay central services, KPFK, KPFA, and KPFT, because New York and D.C. pay nothing at all for shared operations. And National has continuously diverted the funds that are supposed to be shared collectively to New York. But we don't get anything extra from any of the stations because of this. It simply means we don't have operating codes.
Okay. So that will end our director's report. We'll have, that's the item number 6 for the board's response. So we're going to go to our committee report.
Madam Chair, we have time for questions. We're in the process of that. It's preliminary approved, and we have to get the 990s in order to review that. So it was based on what we had. We approved, but we have to move forward and get additional information for this upcoming meeting. I also sit on the coordinating committee, which is why I discussed the in-person meeting in Houston, Texas in November. We're going to try to keep costs low as much as we can, but given that it's an in-person meeting and given the fact that in New York it was budgeted to be $30,000 for the meeting and it was closer to $35,000, we're not very good at keeping to our budget. So that's pretty much it for my report on those two.
Any other reports? PNB report?
I'm on the PNB Governance Committee, and a couple of meetings ago, we passed a motion for the PNB to consider, namely increasing the financial transparency of the budgets. Two-thirds of our budget is salaries, and it's a black budget, just like looking at the NSA budget. We don't get to see a thing in. We have no ability to look in there. The only person who can see the salaries of the people is the treasurer. And there is policy that they make that. It can be shared, but we've asked, and it is never shared with the people. When I was treasurer, I shared that information. This frustration goes clear across the network, and we passed, I think, almost unanimous. It was either unanimous with one or two, with maybe one abstention. I thank Lydia M. Lawrence for supporting this motion as well, but it got brought widespread support across the network. All the LSBs want to see the thing. So the motion is for the PNB to consider is that the salary information will be shared with the LSBs. Nobody else, just the LSBs. And so I'm hopeful that this will move forward at the PNB. And I thank both Tom Lawrence and Lydia for their support of this. But it was clear across the network. Almost unanimous, one abstention.
Thank you.
And just in regards to the governance committee, I was on the last governance committee call, and it's very obvious that members of the other speeds and the local stations, they want elections. It crosses factional lines. Everybody wants elections, and it's been affirmed over and over again by the governance committee and by other committees that we have elections. The local stations are the members of the local station boards, the LSB members, say that their communities are incensed, especially at WBAI and WPFW, with the programming that they are being forced to air now. Programming is not local programming, and these decisions are just being made unilaterally, and they are very upset, so I just wanted to report that.
We have a minute, 45 seconds for committee report. Mr. Comstock, committee report? PNB director, I guess, when you're done with committee report. We do have to, I have a committee report. Very briefly, we are currently in the search for the ED, permanent ED, and the committee will be working the student of September to finalize a recommendation to the PNB for a in-person meeting and use incentives on November 8th through the
11th. I'd like to know if the LSB would like to receive the PNB committee report for those of us that are on those weeks. 8 minutes.
Yeah.
Is that Summer King now, or are you good with that? Okay. Then I will do that for the committees that are on your governance and elections, and rely on the other members.
One clarification. Linda, Senator, are you in the
seat? No, one wonderful question.
We have 45 seconds left on the second.
I just wanted to clarify that the audit was approved. It's just that there's additional information that still hasn't been approved because it hasn't been presented to the audit committee.
Okay, that's fine. That's all I was going to clarify, that the audit was approved and submitted to PNB.
Sorry, the National Election Committee did approve the proposed timeline for the election starting September 1 and ending September 31st. That was forwarded to the PNB, not adopted, not voted on. And then the National Finance Committee is in the process of reviewing and approving or forwarding to the PNB the various station budgets. They've been modifying various ones, including our own. And I don't believe that that's been acted on yet by the PNB.
Thank you. For Q&A.
Yeah.
Mr.
Burkett? I think it is important, at least for the public, to be clear.
Mr. Waller? I think it's important to clarify for the public what exactly is going on with the election that's now been approved so that they're, you know, it's not nebulous, so everybody knows what's happening.
Yeah. We'll take questions and then the board can answer. Ms. Comstock, Ms. Graves?
People may or may not be upset at the elections, but nobody who's been promoting it has ever considered how to pay for it, okay? That's flat out, you know, all the people that want it. You know, a lot of things I like, but you can't pay for me. You know, if I can't pay for it, I don't get it. So that is a huge consideration. It's a lot more than the in-person meeting, and I hope that since it has been voted to have this, that all members get on board and have a good agenda and work their hardest to figure out ways to improve the outlook of the finances. That's why it's a good idea for the board to meet to do its work to save this network. I'd like to know whether why you and Lauren did not voted against the audit. You didn't make any comments, so I have no way of knowing why you voted against it.
Okay.
Dr. Winger?
We'll take the questions, and then
Dr. Winger. Yeah, my take on the elections is this, is that the absolute single motivating value for having listener-sponsored elections is to have listener-sponsored democracy, and for us to cancel the elections is basically to move away from that and to move towards the centralization of powers. So this is a very distressing development. I'm at least a de facto member of the Finance Committee, former treasurer. I do understand you cannot do what you cannot pay for. So therefore, it seems to me that rather than canceling the elections, we should look for essentially a zero-cost option for doing that, and I believe that internet voting could do that and could reduce our costs to essentially zero, or at least to hundreds of dollars, not thousands. And if that were the case, we would not disenfranchise this. I think it's a mistake, since the purpose of listener-sponsored democracy is to have representatives, which represent the people, to move towards the... You let term limits usurp this. Term limits limits the choices of the listeners. If you replace the high winning voters, winning candidates with the least preferred candidates, you are attacking democracy at its core. And you're setting up a total attack for let's abolish democracy, because after all, the candidates who were least preferred by the voters have done a crappy job, and therefore democracy is bad. So let's think that through. Let's find a way to make it happen. It's better to have affordable elections for those few who can vote rather than canceling elections. That's just wrong to abandon democracy.
Thank you.
A couple of brief responses. The National Election Committee has been looking into electronic voting based on the PNV motion, that there would be e-voting as the default with an opt-out for people who want to get a paper ballot. The other cost is for election supervisors, national and local election supervisors, which are necessary to enforce the rules. And that's going to be a cost no matter how we run the election. The National Finance Committee did mandate all five stations to incorporate funding for the election in the fiscal year 2014 budget beginning on October 1, with the assumption that the money that had been budgeted in fiscal year 2013 had been spent on other things in reality. And so all five stations are incorporating funding for the election in the budget that's going to begin shortly. Which, the idea was to take place in the calendar year.
Thank you. Point of order. Folks are supposed to answer the questions after. After everybody's asked the question.
I just wanted to associate myself completely with what John Winger said. John Winger said, and also to mention that I think sometimes we talked about this legal women voters. Sometimes offered to do election, I think, for free.
No, they won't touch it.
Please don't have to be. Mr. Lee?
Yes. I'll give you three reasons why I voted against the audit campaign.
Do you want to answer that?
Okay. I'll be more than happy to.
Okay, we'll take questions.
And I stand by my vote very confident. My question is to Ms. Reese. In regards to the 2009 to 2012 audit report, are they still going to be posted on the Pacifica website, as well as local stations' websites, as required by CPB regulations? And also, in regards to the situation at WPFW and WVAI, which are being forced to air non-local station programming, is this going to be addressed as well? Are you going to respect local autonomy when it comes to programming?
Yeah, my concern is that we haven't addressed the problems of the last election where there's a failure to reach a quorum. I mean, I did not win an election. I was a runner-up like 5 years ago. So until we address that, I don't quite understand why we spend money on just doing it again, repeating the problem. And, I mean, we're talking about money we don't have. We're talking about laying off people in his budget, his new budget, to make it just to stay even. So where's the money coming from, and why are we not addressing the underlying problem of the election that failed in the past?
Thank you. We have 3 minutes and 45 seconds, so we've got 4 people to respond.
Okay, so why I voted against the audit was because, one, management was on the call, and I don't feel comfortable expressing my concerns or reservations about an audit when management was on the audit call. Secondly, is that I had concerns about what was said within the audit report, and so I didn't feel comfortable in passing that particular audit. And in terms of the internet voting for John, that was already voted on by the PMB to do e-voting, and people still voted to postpone the election. In terms of Steve Price's concern with regards to the previous election, that's one of the reasons why Lydia had proposed a bylaws change for the quorum that we have to reach for election. So that was one way to remedy the situation, to lower the requirements. We wouldn't have to pay for an extension or for an extension for an LES or an NES. That's it.
Can I tell, my three reasons why I voted against the
order report? You have 2.5 minutes. You've got to
Okay, just real quick. First reason is that someone was on the call, someone was the IED. Second reason is that we did not engage your auditors in a candid way. I believe the auditors were intimidated. And the third reason is because the growing concern was removed.
Okay, thanks. I'm going to skip why people can't vote for something when management's on an audit call.
Or ask questions.
Okay. Before. Thank you. I have to say a much more fundamental issue about our board structure, our bylaws, these elections. I know everyone's upset about a diminishment in their representative democracy. I will point out that if this were any other nonprofit organization, we have a 10-year history of bylaws which have produced boards which have cost $3 million to elect and have not produced so much as $10 in tangible benefit to the organization whatsoever. These are boards incapable of raising $5,000 to $10,000 a year to do anything. They have to be subsidized by listener donations rather than actually serving the foundation for which they're supposed to exist.
Sounds like
I'm saying in terms of how it works functionally, the outside world, in every conversation with everybody. So it has to be a way to achieve creating boards, whether democratic or otherwise, whether appointed or elected, which don't cost you $250,000 to hold an election, to produce boards which functionally, year after year, regardless of who's in power and who dominates, are unable to solve any problems for the foundation. So I'm saying that is a much larger issue to confront than whether or not we have $250,000 to spend this particular year to create more of this next year. It's a reality. There are actual realities you can look at as the condition the organization is in at this point. I guess I will let it go from there. There are many things I could say about the rest of this. I can see that it quite upsets people, but there's nothing really to say. I mean, some people voted for it, some people voted against it. What was voiced on the open portion of the call for people who voted against it was the fact that the going concern issue had been removed. Again, from the outside world, that's a good thing. It helps us to do things like conduct business. Some people were unhappy that that had been removed. The auditors gave us the reason, the fact that it is almost the end of this fiscal year and we still exist. We're still in business. That is why they removed the going concern.
I'm sorry,
that was just to clarify. The 2009-2010 audit to which I referred is a CPB audit. That is their internal audit, completely separate from our financial reporting requirements. Yes, the current year financial audit has already been sent to our tax department and is supposed to be posted as we speak on all of the websites, the local sites as well as national. That's legally required and goes back to the CPB requirements on open financial records. I haven't followed up yet this week to see if they followed my order, but it was sent to them with the instructions to post, yes.
You've got
got public comments, and then the P&B director can respond. Okay. So the public comments, these are your questions to the P&B director. Should we focus the questions? And therefore, is the director of the committee?
Nobody else, I'm amazed. Well, what Summer said is things I've been saying for years, that this operation could not function one day without programming the staff. It could function maybe up to a year without organized management, but it could function indefinitely without the board, as they've been functioning or not functioning. Now, not that I'm against it, the point is we need to have boards that have real oversight to look over, not to overlook things, and that are not fratricidal and fighting each other. It's craziness. Now, saying this is not going to make any difference. So we need to have a different way of having board, which means we need to deal with our bylaws, and we need possibly to bring in some outside intervention and consultants to advise us. We want to take all the advice. I don't know if you've even done this at all on our situation. I'd like to hear about it if you have. But it's obvious that despite the individual abilities, and I mean that of everybody on the board I've served with and known, individual collectively, it hasn't been very, very cooperative or functional. We need to address that. Same thing about the election. Our last election supervisor nationally suggested trying sortition. Just because the ancient Greeks aren't around anymore doesn't mean necessarily it's bad, but it's an idea, namely to by random collecting from our membership a number of people who might function at least as well, if not better, than this board. That wouldn't cost us any money at all. In short, we need to be a little imaginative, we need to reach out for outside advice, and we need to get the help in how we function our show so we don't waste a half an hour dealing with an agenda item, which could be dealt with on the email before.
Thank you.
Okay, when it's working as it should, the P&B Audit Committee has a central role in identifying or appointing or recommending an auditor for the next fiscal year, and in taking audit reports and trying to get the organization to make the changes necessary to do better on the next audit, but there's no real role for the Audit Committee in approving an independent audit. So it doesn't matter whether they approve or disapprove. The auditor is going to finish their report that they were contracted to do.
Thank you.
Yeah, we need an election. No matter, you know, who decide, the people in Southern California, they want election. They don't approve such a, you know, indecency. We could see indecency on international level, and we could see it on KPFK. I went to a Chinese restaurant and they give me a cooking, fortune cooking. It said on fortune cooking that, you know, the nature has gave us 2 ears and one tongue. It's a perfect thing to people here. They have one tongue, they don't want to listen to the people on every corner of this city, that they are not functioning. This function, you know, democracy, we could see it on international, you know, level, and we could see it here. People need election, and we have to have election. Forget about this. As everybody mentioned, there are a lot of activists, they don't want to be hired, they don't want to be paid. They could, you know, hire them, you know, for the election supervisor. I don't see some of you on different community to help the station to come with the, some money. We don't see you, you are not active in the community, and then you are dysfunctioning this station to become a mouthpiece of Obama.
Thank you. So we will move to thank you for your comments. We've got one more. These women have been.
You just inspired me to remember a quote. I don't exactly remember who, some prominent socialist or communist who said, if elections meant anything, they would try to outlaw them.
Thank you. Would you like to respond to comments? The agenda item?
Directly.
Directly.
Not
a word. Okay. No?
No, no, go ahead. I think Lydia wanted to speak.
Oh, but are we responding to Ray's thing? And that John Wenger came up with some good recommendations in terms of holding elections, even like in person. Some people the working group has come up with some economical ways to do it, very low cost. If there's a will, there's a way. I voted against these bylaws. I voted because I didn't like the size of the boards. I didn't think that these elections would work and whatever. But they passed. And so I tried to abide by them, and the ones that I think need changing, I like to initiate bylaw changes. The problem is that the boards keep wanting to stay out of compliance and not do anything to substantively change it. It's not like we don't have the ability to do so. And I was hoping that 2014 was going to be where we could do a tremendous overhaul of the bylaws, because it would have been an election-free year. Now we're going to have elections on that 2014, presumably unless some agency steps in, which is a possibility.
Okay, we'll move to directors.
I would just say that what people should keep in mind is that the elections were not eliminated, they were postponed to another time, so that we'd be better able to explore those other possibilities of reducing costs.
I'm going to say one last thing on this.
And this just goes back to the exigency of the organization's survival right now. I think it's for everyone who cares about it, in every different way that you care about it. What we are really talking about right now is, do we retain our radio station? Free Speech Radio News is potentially going off the air because of our funding problems, because they are so dependent on us. As a media organization, we are in jeopardy, and there are commercial interests that look at our assets. It's important not to lose them. So I would ask that everyone keep all of that in mind in dealing with these elections. It's not just the cost of the elections. When lawsuits are filed about the elections, there's still $75,000 owed in New York on an elections case in lawyers' fees that they're pursuing this year right now. I've already been in court once on this from 5 years ago. So what we're talking about isn't just the cost of the elections. It's the whole way this is set up. So please, I would ask everyone, work for the benefit of the organization. Thank you.
We're at time. We'll go stand by 1 minute.
Second. Any objection?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, those in favor of moving for 1 minute, please raise your hand. Those in favor of adding 1 minute?
Comment.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Flexible?
To extend a minute? Extend for 1 minute.
I have a quick comment.
1, 2, 3, 4. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, ten. Yes. So it just takes anyone a minute. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Okay. One.
Given the comments about the boards don't raise any money, I think if the boards really care passionately, they want to have elections, then the boards should find ways to raise the special monies outside of the budget to pay for the elections, and then management will probably remove their objection, because their objection is there's no money to pay for it. So let's, if we believe we want to have elections, let's just make it happen. Outside of the budget, special fundraising, was blue sky. Let's figure it out.
Thank you.
That was worth a minute. You guys should have voted.
I've linked John to something you said, but how are we going to find money if we don't have transparency at the staff? Let's have that transparency and let's find that money. Because you look at historical precedents of this type of thing, and they are not nice. Let's find the money, let's get the election done. It's probably 2-3 salaries. Any of us who have managed organizations know that you've got to look at what you're spending, and you got to make cuts, and you survive. But without democracy and some kind of effective democracy, this station doesn't survive. And quite personally, I have very little confidence in the leadership of this foundation right now, and I think we just heard an attitude that has very little concern with democracy. So let's get that transparency. Let's find that money. Let's get this done. Right. You're on the governance committee. I'd appeal to you, please. Stick with that and make that happen.
Thank you. I'd like to remind everybody, KPFK, it takes a village. Transparency, it takes a village.
No drones.
Next item. I make a motion we move to closed session.
We are not at time.
Wait,
what happened? Whoa. We're on our next agenda item.
Point of order, there's a motion.
I make a motion that we move to closed session.
So okay.
I object. There's an objection to a motion. There was not second.
I second.
Okay. So there's an objection. Is there a debate or should we call? Okay, those in favor.
No, wait a minute. We have put off doing this for months and months. This is way behind schedule, and I think we need to finish up this evaluation. If we don't get it done now, it won't get done again.
We've been years with an interim program director.
So what?
It bothers you that we're a few months behind in this. It doesn't bother you that we're years behind on it. Anyway, that's my.
This is an evaluation that the board is responsible for doing.
And we're responsible also on the program
director. So we've had one in favor of her motion, one opposed to the motion.
Call the question, please. Excuse me. Please.
We have
that is cutting off debate inappropriately, point of order.
Somebody moves to call the question. We ask if there are objections. If there are objections, we vote on calling the question.
I object.
Is there an objection to calling the question?
Point of order, Chair.
Okay.
Can you please restate the motion? Can the motion be restated before the vote?
Which motion? My motion?
Yeah.
My motion is to go into closed session right now. Yes. As it is on the agenda.
That's right.
It's not on the agenda.
Yeah, it is.
Which would eliminate the PD search committee formation.
The PD search committee.
Item 10. Your timing will cut off that we've been trying to do for years.
I called the question.
The question's been called.
Okay,
those in favor of ending debate. All in favor of calling the question. Please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. All opposed?
Could you repeat that? What are we voting on?
We're voting on whether to move to an immediate vote on Kim's motion to stop the meeting and move to closed session.
Without further debate. We're voting on calling the question right now.
Okay. Those opposed, please raise your hand.
Opposed to what?
Calling the question. 1, 2, 3. Wait. Please raise your hand. Those opposed. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Abstention. No abstention. Okay.
Yes for 11. No for 7.
Debate is closed?
Yes.
Okay. Now we go to a vote. Those in favor of Kim's motion to adjourn the open session, to go to closed session. So if you are in favor of ending the open session now, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3. All opposed? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Opposed? Abstention? 3 abstentions. The motion is defeated. We continue with our meeting. Item number 10 on the agenda. We'll continue with item number 10A. Motion to constitute UPD search committee. You have your agenda. You can look at the appendix.
Point of information.
Yes,
I'm unclear. I thought the motion was saying the back here is that which now governs us.
Yes.
No.
Is that not the case? It's simply a motion before to see if we wish to be governed by that.
Yeah.
Yes, we had a previous motion that called for public members in addition to the LC members. That was negated by the CMB. We have that in the new motion at this point.
And this is the new
this
motion.
Is the new motion.
All right. Got it. Somebody put in the motion. I'll second it.
It's already.
Oh, it has been.
Oh, no, it has been.
Because it's the number that we choose.
Okay.
Within that range.
Wait, I have a question. One second. Point of information.
You should announce the previous motion that has been rescinded to number 5. And it will just be 0.
Because if you're ruling that the action
of the CMB...
Wait, can we have a discussion out loud, please?
No, we don't have to.
Yes,
they do.
If the action of the CMB is that made the prior motion of this body no longer in effect.
Only one section of it.
You have to state your interpretation in order to give members an opportunity to object, otherwise the ruling stands. I mean, the motion adopted by the body is still on record. Because the body has not rescinded it.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Our body has not rescinded the motion that was adopted that the PMB made a ruling about.
That makes no sense.
Yeah, I know what that means.
I would just like to move that the motion which is on the agenda properly reflects, which is that the PNB voted on a new search committee composition motion that takes out the participation on this committee by listener members. So that's my motion, and that's the only amended portion of the previous motion adopted.
My understanding is, and I can pull it up, is that in the first motion, it was a choice of 7 or 9 or 11 members. I don't know where these 9 members came from. As far as I know, that has not been voted on. So that has to be determined, because 9 members would not be the original
motion.
I understand, but who made this motion?
We're voting on it. Where does this motion come from?
This motion comes from me. I was the author of the original motion.
Wait a minute, then. Okay.
I made the original motion to constitute the committee with 8 members of the LSB and 11 and 3 listener members for a total of 11. When that was mooted, I made this new motion for 9 because I think the committee has to have an odd number of members to be able to make a decision. Excuse me. That's what you do. You make a motion and it's voted on.
There was a PNB motion.
Point of information.
What is the question?
There was a PNB motion approved last year that we were supposed to be our guidelines. Where did this come from, and why aren't we going with that PNB motion? I mean, this is an unapproved motion that came from where?
What is point of information? The PNB excised the portion that providing for public participation. Everything else is the way in which that committee should be formed. Now, you read that previously. Perhaps you could just read that, because those are our guidelines. We don't have the power at the LSB level to override that decision.
Nobody's trying to override anything. If somebody thinks the motion that Michael has made and I have seconded somehow is in conflict with the national motion, well, they should say so.
Consider it said.
Well, then your duty will be to point out in what way it is. That's what we're having debate on, which we don't get to if people stop quite opposite the issue. There's a motion that's been made and seconded. People don't like the motion, will vote against it. They'll point out why it's not a proper motion or whatever it is. But you can't prevent Michael from making the motion or me from seconding it simply because you don't like the motion. If that was the case, nobody could ever make a motion for it, for God's sake.
Could be ruled out of order.
Thank you. For clarity of thought, I think in the decision-making process, it would not be helpful for the members to see the PND motion that redacted the presence of other individuals of the LSB motion. When it is printed this way on the agenda, it gives the appearance of being a committee motion. It is not clear that it is made by an individual. Typically on national agendas, when motions are made by individuals, it says the person's last name, so moved, colon, etc. That's how you know it came from a person. If it's printed this way, you presume it came from a committee. In a circumstance like this, where we have sort of a jurisdictional issue between the LSB passing something and the PND overriding it, it has to be clear, is this the PND language? Is this the LSB language? Is this the individual's language? It came out in the course of discussion that this is a motion from an individual. That's an entirely different thing than here is the PND language redirecting us to do X, Y, or Z, and then we make a collective decision. In which case, Michael's motion might be totally correct. You know, he might say, in response, this is my motion. But that's not clear. I think all the confusion is generated by not knowing what the PND motion was.
Please be patient. A wonderful secretary. Is that what we're looking at, right?
My question is this. I don't believe, and I wonder if anybody has knowledge of the PND specifying the size of the committee.
Seven, nine, or 11.
So therefore, isn't it then the case that this LSB can choose between 7, 9, or 11, and we can get on with it? Is that correct?
So we should vote on that.
That's why it's important to
understand this in individual motion. But that's fine. We have a motion that we can vote on to figure out the amount that we can
spend. I move that we have
to move it with Mr. Reyes and then
no, you I am to that. You cannot move that. A motion has been made. It has been seconded by two individuals. We're not trying to hide by an committee. A motion has been made and seconded. Now, somebody can move to substitute. That all the rules that apply to any other motion can be applied to this one. What can't be applied to is a new set of rules that aren't written.
Agreed.
Can I have my hand up?
Okay.
It was Mr. Reyes.
I don't know why this boy keeps saying that they don't see things or they don't get emails. Because for some reason I get all the emails. And I got the email in regards to this motion, which I didn't agree with because I wanted listeners included. But, you know, be it as it may, Michael's motion and Mr. Lafferty's seconded of the motion is in order. And I say we move with the question.